From KRCB in Santa Rosa, it's Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour with Michelle Anna Jordan.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Visa, offering the Visa Signature Card, featuring concierge services for travel, dining, and entertainment at visasignature.com.
You better come on in my kitchen. There's hard to be ready.
Tonight on Mouthful, three neighborhood cafes, one bookstore, one turntable, one wine cellar, and one farmer's market. So stay tuned for the wine country's most delicious hour.
You fry some garlic, and you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it to make sure it doesn't stick. You got to do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? A little bit of wine. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
Want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. And yeah, I want some more, don't you? I always want a little more. That's how you should be. It's a really fun night tonight. It's always a really fun night. I probably always say that, but this is an extra special fun night because we have here in the studio Mark Maliki of Cafe St. Rose. Hi, Mark. I can't believe it's like been 10 years since you were here. We also have Carolina Clare and Barbara Iannoli from Northlight Books and Cafe. Welcome.
Hello.
And we have Mark Dirkhuizen of Dirk's Parkside Cafe. Yes, I can say that. And we're going to be talking about neighborhood cafes and shopping at the farmer's market and then anything else that comes up and knowing y'all a lot well. So the first thing I want to do, and since you're sitting next to me, Mark, let's start with you. Let's give an intro to your cafe. I'm going to do quick intros of all the cafes so that then we just talk.
Well, we're a little breakfast and lunch joint on Santa Rosa Avenue just south of the Luther Burbank Home and Garden. We're open daily 7 to 2:30 and trying to use local products and create a neighborhood restaurant.
And you opened when?
We bought the place October 1st and remodeled for a month, and then we opened November 1st.
Okay, and Parkside Cafe had been there for several centuries.
Yeah, Parkside's been there for quite a few years. It's been many names, mm-hmm. we're finding out. And then years ago, actually two units were put together for one, so there's actually two sections of it. But it was a donut shop at one time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's been basically a counter place for the last probably 30 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then Barbara and Carolina, you are in what used to be the Brass Ass.
Yes, yes.
I, you know, have a mild panic attack whenever I walk in there because I, of course, managed the Brass Ass for a while. So tell us about Northlight Books and Cafe.
Go ahead, Carolina. Northlight Books and Cafe. We moved to Cotati in 1998, and we were just plain old Northlight Books, no cafe. And we still had our store in Santa Rosa open at that time. And we moved down to, we were actually invited to come to Cotati by some professors at Sonoma State who didn't like to use the bookstore. So we opened this tiny annex to do this college business. It was new to us. I'm walking around the center one day, and I had gone to Sonoma State at one time. I'm walking around the center, and I see this dilapidated place, this old fence broken down, and I said, oh, my God, that's the old Brass Ass. You know? They had the patio. And Barbara was at a very, not very great time in her life then. So I said, Barbara, we have to do this. We have to move here. Look, there's a patio, there's a cafe, there's, we you know, and she weakly said, oh, okay. And that's how that happened.
Yeah.
That's how it happened. No idea how to run a cafe. Barbara's been doing, you know, her family did. She kind of knows the biz. I have no clue. I still don't really have a clue, but
she doesn't. We got to do exactly what we wanted to do. Mm-hmm. We got to be socially ethical. We got to be we got to buy local stuff. We got to do exactly what we wanted to do, and we didn't care if we won or lost. We really didn't, because we're old and we don't care. So it's a certain freedom. There's a certain freedom in it, so it was great for us. Uh-huh. And so we do what we have a coffee bar and we have a full kitchen. So we have breakfast and lunch now, and dinner is usually what's left over from lunch, or we do daily specials, three or four daily specials, which tend to be comfort foods from reflecting the ethnicity of our staff, or, you know, somebody wants macaroni and cheese or something, so that's what we do. Mm-hmm. And we do organic coffee, and we really focus on local. We, mm-hmm. Everything is at the from the farmer's market. Mostly everything's from the farmer's market.
Okay, Mark Maliki. Cafe St. Rose, did it open in August?
September 12th.
September 12th, that's close. Yeah. And it's Sebastopol Avenue between South A and Santa Rosa
and
Avenue.
Correct.
Walking distance to Dirk's Parkside.
I had breakfast there. I had an English muffin and coffee there the other morning. Yeah.
And we have lunch there.
And they, right, yeah.
Karen and I go there for lunch. We love it.
Uh-huh, perfect. So tell us about... Cafe St. Rose. I know it changed a little bit fairly quickly.
Yeah, the whole dynamic of the restaurant changed. I opened it's a 14-seat restaurant, right? Or which was going to originally be breakfast and lunch, but somehow kind of evolved into lunch and dinner. And I don't know, I'm having the time of my life with it. It's a cool building. It's got a real food history. It was the original La Tortilla factory building, and then for years it was Brother Juniper's. Mm-hmm. And
it was Chai Baba Chai too.
They're in the space. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I know.
I really love what you've done to it. It's a space that it feels really good to be inside of it. Partly the color scheme, partly the layout, and then partly you have to tell us about the record player.
I have a record player. Record players. You know what's neat about the record player is, along with the records, you get these people who give you records, and you get to know a lot of my neighbors and everything, and just people show up all the time with, you know, albums and 45s, and we just
even
play
45s
them.
Too.
And the collection just grows and grows. It started out with maybe like 20 albums. There's about 400 now.
Really?
Yeah, and then Doug from the last record store said, oh, you don't even need to buy records anymore. He said, just swap things out. Just come in and, you know, whatever you want to put on, just work that out. So.
Now, I know that with those first, you know, drop-offs, it was jazz, right?
Yeah, but the...
I'm wondering what genres have been showing up.
This week, Solomon Burke, Otis Redding, Diamond Dogs came in. What else? There was like a whole. Somebody brought like a bunch of Irish albums in yesterday because it was St. Patrick's Day. And let's see, what else came in this week? Dionne Warwick, more and more records all the time.
Well, I'm going to go through my collection because there was a period in my life when I couldn't look through a used record bin without, if there was any Elvis Costello, if there was any Roxy Music, it didn't matter if I had 5 copies at home. I just had to buy it because you never knew. At some point, I might need it. And so I was going to go through and pull out all my doubles and bring them to you.
Yeah, there was a Rock Pile album came
in.
Oh, there is. Dave Edmonds this week.
That's
too,
cool.
So it was really nice.
They only did one. That's not real easy to find. So
I have a Louis Prima somewhere. I'm going to dig it out for you.
See, that would be great, yeah.
You know, and that's one of the things that, to me, ties tonight's show together is, that's what a neighborhood restaurant is. It has something unique to a neighborhood that really could never, ever happen somewhere else. It's not going to happen at a chain. You know, it's not going to happen at Starbucks. No. It's not going to happen at the Olive Garden. Mm-hmm. So it's neighborhood places that take on the character of where they are, not just in the food that they serve, but in things like that. And, you know, with Northlight, it's the bookstore, obviously. The bookstore in the proximity of Sonoma State.
Right.
And I could be wrong, Mark, on this, but to me, Dirk's is, well, it's really three things. It's the proximity to Luther Burbank. It's how long the place has been there functioning as a restaurant. But you have a long history and access.
Yes, I do.
I should say long restaurant history. Because your
both work.
Your brothers are in the restaurant business as well. You started out together. But you have a shared wine cellar. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, we're talking about music. Today we were playing a mix that my oldest son, Joseph, made for me of The Doors and of the Rolling Stones. I had two different sets going on. And in between Ella, so we had Ella playing, and then we'd have this Doors come on, then we'd have the Stones come on, then we'd have this classic jazz stuff come on. It was it made for breakfast, really, kind of very interesting this morning. But, the family cellar. We kind of have this cellar over in Napa that we all get to dip into, and my brother is very generous with it. So the last dinner we did, we brought out 74 Cabernets, and so we had some 74 Cabernets on there for $40 a bottle. We opened some of them up. We opened two of them up for the night, and then we had Gravelly Hill from Diamond Creek for $200 a bottle, which really doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And so we just bring those out for our. The goal has always been to, for us, is for everybody to drink wines reasonably and to enjoy them. And it doesn't matter what people say about them, it's what you feel about them. So just, you know, get in there and drink them and enjoy them. One of the goals that we did when we started buying all this wine is that we'd be able to drink a 10-year-old bottle of Cabernet every day of the rest of our life. So
not a bad goal.
Yeah, you know, when you're young and 25 years old, there's lots of great goals.
You are listening to Mouthful.
Hey, buddy, come home every day, smelling like Friday. If I didn't have those veins popping out all over my legs, if I had my hair done up real nice,
if I had some clothes that weren't too tight,
oh, would you still be coming home drunk in the middle of the night? I believe it's all a joke, but I don't think it's funny. There's a man at table five who's calling me honey. Some people are born too late.
Some people are born too soon.
Some people are born to die choking on their silver spoon. Maybe money can't buy everything. It looks like I'm never gonna know for sure. Maybe money can't buy happiness.
You're listening to Mouthful on KRCB Public Radio for Sonoma County. I'm Michelle Jordan. Thanks for tuning in. My guests this evening, Mark Maliki of Cafe St. Rose, Carolina Clare and Barbara Iannoli of Northlight Books and Cafe, and Mark Dirkhuizen of Dirk's Parkside Cafe. Neighborhood restaurants that I think really beautifully reflect the neighborhood. And there are others. You know, there are neighborhood restaurants, say Water Street Bistro, for example, in Petaluma is a really good example. I think K&L Bistro serves that purpose in Sebastopol, Seaweed Cafe in Bodega Bay.
The one in Greaton.
Oh, Willowside.
Willowwood.
That's right, Willowwood in Greaton. And what would we say for Hillsburg? There are a lot of options in Hillsburg.
Charcuterie? The Ravenous.
I would say Ravenous.
Ravenous.
Yeah. Ravenous is for sale, by the way.
People, Ravenous is for sale.
Yes, Ravenous is for sale.
Interesting.
Don't look at me.
Interesting, but I'm somehow not surprised.
I hope that's right, what I said. Someone told me that. That's hearsay.
Okay.
I don't know that from the horse's mouth.
Okay, but there's a lot of good places in Healdsburg. It has that great, you know, like Petaluma, and where else?
There's Stella's.
There's, you can walk, I'm just thinking
not
of the
Petaluma.
Square.
Right.
Of a square that's a really good for walking. That's one of the things that I always think of.
Pine Cone Inn in Sebastopol.
Pine Cone Inn.
That's true. That's true.
That's homey. That's good and down home.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to talk about the menus of each of the places. And, you know, I just want you all to jump in and talk about your menus. I don't want to quiz you.
Well, we have a regular menu, and then we have specials every day.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things on your... Because I know that you must be influenced a lot by Sonoma State and what Sonoma State students want. And also by the community where you are, Cotati. And so I'm wondering sort of how much the menu is a reflection of that.
It isn't really.
No?
It isn't really. When we set up the menu, we went after, we had Shelley Napoleon was working there, and really she devised the menu, mm-hmm. the basic menu that we have. And we adjust it depending on what we can get. You know, our specials are very seasonal. Mm-hmm. You know, we have turkey sandwiches, and we buy Willy Bird turkey and, you know, that kind of stuff, the regular turkey sandwiches and some sandwiches that we made up, like the Fontina and cremini mushroom sandwich and mm-hmm. roasted red pepper and provolone. Those are my Italian sandwiches, mm-hmm. you know. So whoever was working there at the time would think of something mm-hmm. fabulous, and then
we serve a turkey sandwich with homemade chutney instead of cranberry, which is mm-hmm. so good. Sandwiches are very good, and then some, like you were talking about family favorites. We have Lucy Brunetti's spinach pie, which is a recipe from Barbara's family. We used to have that wonderful mac and cheese that was Margie's recipe. Mm-hmm. We serve a red wine called Lodi Red. And there's a professor at Sonoma State named Peter Phillips. And it's mm-hmm. his family winery. They're down in Lodi. Okay. It's called Phillips. It's actually got kind of big, but it was started by his grandfather. And his name was Don. Anyway, Lodi Red. There's a picture of Don on the back. And it says, "Wine gets better with age. The older I get, the better I like it." And here's Don with his straw hat. Wine, and it's a blend. I love it's the house wine. It's a Cabernet and Carignan and Symphony blend. It is drinkable wine.
I don't know.
It's good. It's cheap. It's wonderful. It's
you guys also make really good iced coffee.
We do make good iced coffee. We have really good coffee.
Yeah, and you make ice cubes out of coffee.
We make ice cubes
so that you get it iced without diluting it. When I got back from Hawaii, I was very happy to find that.
That's efficient and economical and sustainable, if mm-hmm. you will, because at the end of the night, you have your choice. You can either pour out the old coffee or you can pour it into a ice tray. So
it's
ice
perfect.
Cube tray.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's one of the better things.
You had a connection to Sonoma State.
Yes.
Mark Durkheisen, I should say.
I was the executive chef for the Sonoma State and the Green Music Center for 4 years, just before, about a year before I bought the restaurant. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's, you know, it's very interesting and very entertaining and educational, you know, working with the state and trying to do, you know, trying to use local products and just, you know, recycling and all mm-hmm. of the kind of things that the state would like you to do.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about your menu. Do you have you had to deal with people coming in who went to Parkside before you bought it demanding their favorite things?
Well, you know, kind of, because I grew up in the restaurant business and breakfast and lunch places like this. Yeah, you do, and, you know, we were kind of nervous, but as I was going through the remodeling, I just said, you know, I'm just going to do Mark mm-hmm. and just hope for the best and just talk to people and be honest with them, mm-hmm. you know, and then because what you start out with in day one is never what it is in day 365, mm-hmm. you know, so you just, mm-hmm. it isn't, is it, right?
No.
It never is.
No.
So you just
it's never
go,
what you think it's going to be.
You know, yeah, it's got to become itself.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And it just takes eventually time. I mean, like the other day, Karen was saying, you know, I think we've got an infant on our hands. You know, because the first couple months we were kind of fumbling through with people and you're throwing dishes at people, not mm-hmm. literally across the room, but, you know, you're fixing dishes that you really like, you know, and then people go, oh, yeah, no, but I'd really like more garlic. And, you know, whatever it is, you know, I'm sure mm-hmm. we all run across that.
And it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like there's an awful lot of that these days. People, I mean, I've had other restaurateurs tell me that they think it's partly thanks to the Food Channel that everyone thinks they're a food critic.
Yes.
So people will say, well, these French fries were cooked a little too long, and I don't think your aioli has enough garlic in it.
Yeah.
Than just be gracious about what they're served.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that, you know, but that's still, you know, that's their liking, I think.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
And I think you can tell that. I mean, you know, when people are kind of trying to, you know, do things that they've seen someplace else or they think is right, compared to the people that, you know, hey, I really like a really good beef stew, or mm-hmm. I, you know, I want a salad that's, you know, nice, good local greens, and just has olive oil on it, or something like that. you know that that's what they like to eat, mm-hmm. compared to, you know, kind of things like you need more aioli in your, mm-hmm. you know, garlic in your aioli. It's like, okay, lady, you need more hair starch in your hair or something. I don't know what it is, you know.
That gets worse with time, though.
Yeah.
In my opinion, that gets worse with time in terms of what people want, you know. I mean, we serve a turkey sandwich with a side of greens, and this woman said she wasn't full. I didn't know what to say. You know, order something else.
else Go for a run.
It's hard. You know, it's really hard because, you know, I take it personally, and then I get over it, but... You think, oh, my God, I'm not giving them enough food. But we serve such quality food that you can't just... It's not Oliver's Market. It's not a deli. You know, it's a...
Sure.
It's an organic cafe.
People are always asking to taste the soups, too. And I say, where is your sense of adventure?
But isn't that great that people, you know, you were just talking about that they're not full, or that you worried about what they were thinking, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's what makes, you know, a neighborhood place is
right.
that, you know, you're concerned about it. I mean, I sleep at night, you know, but at the same time, you know, somebody might throw something out there that a week, 2 weeks down the road, that you're going, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Or, and then you might work with it, and
right.
or you don't, you know.
Right.
And at least you cared about it.
Yeah, and you look at the sandwiches when the sandwich is coming out. Well, maybe it's not quite bountiful enough. One of my cooks is very frugal, mm-hmm. and she, you know, I said to her, when you put mayonnaise on a piece of bread, you should be able to actually see the mayonnaise. You know what I mean? It shouldn't just disappear. So, but I'm working with that all the time.
Uh-huh.
You've got to be bountiful. You've got to give people what's good. You know. So.
I think it's also good when your customers do complain, because they do it like your family complains. Mm-hmm. But you don't want someone to eat something they don't like and walk
sure,
out and
absolutely.
Never come back. So our customers complain. You hear about it. That
yeah.
wasn't enough food. It was too salty. And, you know, or can't they put, you know, don't they have any salt in the kitchen? Or just whatever. But it's, mm-hmm. and a lot of it's helpful because sometimes they're right on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I still remember the woman. She must have been 90 years old. I was serving appetizers at the Sonoma County Museum. And she told me that there was not enough salt on this little miniature potato topped with caviar. But I was so flustered because Charles Schulz had just made a funny little voice, like screaming about being a baby potato being eaten, that I said the wrong thing to the 90-year-old woman. And I still feel bad about it in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Anyway, the two marks. We see Mark Durkheising. Dirks, I want some details about your menu, what the dishes are like, and then St. Rose, too.
There's been two dishes that jump out right away. One is a kumfia duck that I've always wanted to do for years, and we do this breakfast dish with scrambled eggs and a duck leg and sautéed apples and hash browns.
It sounds good.
And it's something I've always wanted
great.
To do. When I was in the Gordon with a friend, and I said, I really want to do this for breakfast. And so we put it on, and I'm going, God, it's not going to last, you know, a month. Well, I don't think I'll ever be able to take it off the menu. And the other one is this Eggs Benedict kind of thing that we found someplace about a week or so before we opened. It's just some good French bread and sautéed spinach and bacon and mushrooms with whatever kind of eggs you want on top of it and hollandaise that we make a couple times a day on the top with hash browns. And I could just make them before people ordered and put them up because I know I'm going to kind of have one, right? One of those kind of dishes,
mm-hmm.
right? So those are two things that
uh-huh.
have been really fun. And then all the rest of the stuff that, you know, people come in for little breakfast places and lunch, you know, burgers and mm-hmm. lots of salads.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I think particularly us, and Mark, I think you find the same thing. In the wine country or kind of in the North Bay, I think people just greens are kind of expected.
Yeah, we sell a ton of salads, a lot of salads.
We have a lot of people ask for vegan, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of that is the students. The young
mm-hmm.
people are so much into that.
Yeah, that's what I would
have
thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're very much into that. So that's been interesting. So we always have to have good vegan choices.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mark, let's bring you in. St. Rose, tell me about St. Rose's menu these days.
Okay, it's interesting because I'll get to that in 1 second. Right now, I'm getting my beer and wine license, and I'm supposed to write an essay on why I'm an asset to the neighborhood.
You are?
But I think
for
that
who?
just for the ABC.
Really?
Yeah, not why I'm not a detriment.
The ABC gives you a homework assignment?
Oh, no, but the cool thing about it is I don't feel that I'm an asset to the neighborhood as much as the neighborhood has been an asset to me. Because to talk about the food, my day starts at Lola's Market, where I'm usually buying like a half a goat, a bunch of octopus, and a pig's head, right? And then making lunch around that. And then I'm at Phnom Penh or Mekong.
The Asian market. Getting, both the two Asian markets fairly near you.
Getting stuff for the restaurant, too. And then, I mean, last night we had pig's brains with bitter oranges, right? And this kid who works for me said, nobody's going to buy it, right? And we sold like 14 orders.
So, really?
Yeah, we just dredged them in ground up pistachios and fried them and then made this sauce with oranges and... And frisée, a little like salad. They're
so
really
you've got popular. Right there, it's an arty neighborhood in that there's several art galleries.
There are, yeah.
So you have a pretty adventurous
clientele. I do. And then this past week I put the barbecue stand outside. Mm-hmm. And the cool thing is, and this is what I wanted. In the beginning I wasn't getting a lot of people from the neighborhood, right? Mm-hmm. But now a lot of people live in the around the restaurant are eating there. That's really great. Yeah.
And so you have, you don't have the same menu throughout the day, right? You have something different
changes,
for lunch and dinner?
Yeah, it changes every day.
Uh-huh, but I mean, what about during the day? Is it the same menu the whole time you're open, or is it something different at lunch?
Oh, lunch and dinner. I mean, there's some stuff that'll carry over to dinner, right? But not always. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a bit, yeah.
So what are some of the things that are on the menu right now, other than the pork brains?
The pig brains.
The pig brains.
I know.
I had pig heart last
Sunday on my way here. I stopped off at Bovlo, and John was fooling around with some pork, and he made me a pork heart salad. It was outstanding.
It's the year of the pig. We get a lot of like beef hearts too. We get Della Fattoria bread and make sandwiches with hearts and like pickled onions and arugula and butter. Yeah, those are good. But like last night was Costillo de Chivo. We did goat ribs outside, and they're neat because you cook them in avocado leaves and banana leaves, and the avocado takes out any buckiness kind of thing, and then you just grill them off and finish them with lots of vinegar. And they caramelize and just really, really nice.
I really love
goat's
that dish.
So good.
We had wood oven roasted goat ribs when I was in Portugal a few months ago. Just outstanding.
And it's not to say that all we're doing is parts. I mean, there was
Well, I've had several salads at your place that are really
whole grilled fish last night outside too, and on the barbecue and. You know, chicken and things like that.
Now, when you do the barbecue, are you doing all barbecue, or are you also
No, we're still doing the maybe five or six things will come off of that, and then there's still a lot of, although some of the first courses too. But like we did the pork and crab grilled in banana leaves last night too.
Now, how is it working? You have 14 seats.
14 seats.
And word is spreading. Just on the street, that it's a really sweet place to go. So how are you doing? Are you getting a long line out the door?
The nice thing at dinner is I could do it almost in seating, like say 5:30 and like 7. Mm-hmm. And it used to be the time changes really helped because I would do an 8:30 seating and not a soul would come through the door and like last night and Friday night they're all sold out. Mm-hmm. You know?
So people, you do take reservations.
Oh, yeah, we take reservations for sure. And so we could end up doing maybe, even with that, 40 dinners a night. Mm-hmm. So, but lunch is a lot of takeout also.
And
we have tables outside. And it was really cool this week. Everyone was eating outside because the weather was so nice. So we could end up having, with that, like 22 seats and then three at the counter, so 25.
Mm-hmm. When do you think the beer and wine license will be coming through?
I believe the first or second week of April. Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's getting there.
Okay, you are listening to Mouthful on KRCB.
Well, I walked past just yesterday, and I couldn't bear that that new mall no more. I can't expect you all to see it my way, but you may not know what was there before. And I want them to put back my old corner store. Well, I walked past just a, like I say, and I felt this hurt that would not go home. I can't expect that you're gonna see it my way, but you may not know the trees I've known, and I want them to put back my old corner store.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. The topic, neighborhood restaurants. If you are listening somewhere not in Sonoma County, if you're listening on the web or by podcast, you probably have neighborhood restaurants near you. You can always send me emails telling me about them, catsmilk@sonic.net. You never know when I'm going to be in your neighborhood. I'd love to visit your favorite cafe. So one of the things that made me ask the three of you here, the four of you here, three restaurants, is that I know that you all shop at Santa Rosa Farmers Market for at least part of what you use in the kitchen. And Mark, you're going to start, I think, is it this week that you're starting your farmer's market?
Well, we started it last week. It's every Wednesday and Saturday evening. It's a dinner honoring the Santa Rosa Farmers Market, where every single thing, you know, that we have on the menu that night comes from the market. Mm-hmm. And it's only going to get easier as the season progresses.
You know? Are you buying the pork from Black Sheep Farms?
I get Black Sheep pork. Can I get, like, the other day, asparagus from Larry from Triple T, mm-hmm. and I got his duck eggs, and that's what we did, grilled asparagus with poached duck eggs, right? And, like, did his potocrems, his honey potocrems with Hector's lavender honey, mm-hmm. and so, yeah. And we'll just do that as, you know, I guess always, you know, there's always the farmer's market. Mm-hmm. So
yep. But you're concentrating on the Santa Rosa.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, it's walking distance. I rode my bike there. Right, from my restaurant. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's pretty close for you too, Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm pushing for a Vespa to go there, but anyways.
Yeah. So, and you.
Yeah, we're trying to shop there too. We're also using Terra Farms right now a lot, and I'm going up there and buying
Terra vegetables.
And going up there and picking up stuff from them, and then having a lot of people bring things in. Mm-hmm. So somebody dropped off a bag of lemons today, which was great.
Oh, isn't that nice when those bags of lemons show? Somebody left a bag of lemons on my back porch Friday night. I was so having lemons makes me feel rich.
Mm-hmm. It's the zucchini. The zucchini midnight drops.
There's an official date. August 18th is the official sneak some zucchini on your neighbor's porch date.
I did not know
that's
that.
A date
I
to put in my book.
Yeah. August 18th. So I know that, your sister.
My sister.
Paula Downing.
Manages the Santa Rosa and the Sebastopol Farm Market.
Mm-hmm. Now, she was managing Cattotti for a while, but.
No longer?
Okay.
She's getting too old.
Yeah. That's turning out to be a nice market, though.
Paula's your sister? I didn't know that.
Yeah, Paula's my sister. Ah, okay. But I've been shopping the Santa Rosa Farm Market for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I used to get my lettuce from Jim Yost, and now I get it from Triple T. They grow it for me.
Oh, nice.
I buy 24 pounds of lettuce a week and 8 flats of eggs a week from Larry. Mm-hmm. Get all my beets there. I get my arugula there. I get everything there. I'm there twice a week, and I fill my trunk with stuff. And so whatever seasonal I can bring in and say, here, do something with this. Mm-hmm. I brought kohlrabi in last week, and they said, what is this? I said, it's kohlrabi. And Carolina has this great book where you can look up kohlrabi and figure out what to do with
it. You know the book. It's the Victory Garden cookbook.
Victory Garden. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's wonderful for that.
Yeah.
So it's great because there's so many beautiful things. Mm-hmm. I buy a lot of stuff from Orchard Farms. I think they're amazing on Saturday. And
Ortiz Brothers.
I buy from Julio Ortiz both Wednesday and Saturday.
Yeah, I usually buy from him every time I'm at the market.
Yeah, Wednesday and Saturday. She gets us epazote for our Mexican stuff, and she grows epazote, and her arugula is really good.
Yeah, I bought her last two bunches of arugula yesterday.
Yeah, and so, you know, you get to know the growers that you like to patronize. We get all of our honey from Hector for everything, honey from Hector. What else do we do there? Oh, all of our meat now is black sheep. And if we don't have sausage, if they run out of sausage, we have revolts. We have customer revolts. I have to control them.
And we get our jam from Nan.
Nan Kohler, Nan Solomon.
Oh, Nan.
Makes all of our jam.
Oh, great. Yeah, Nan. Rainbow Farms.
Yep.
Rainbow Farms.
That's right.
And we'll start to see her. You know, it's almost April 1st.
Right.
Right about this time of year, I'm just dying for this Sebastopol Farmers Market to start.
I know. That's my church on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then Black Sheep's going to have chickens in about
Black
an
Sheep,
hour.
She's got chickens. Yeah. She just took her rabbits in.
Yeah.
Now, does she? She has pork and lamb.
Pork, lamb, and beef.
She's doing
they
beef
get
now.
I don't know if they've got beef now, but they get these Italian cattle.
Uh-huh.
And they'll
have
two
have
or three at a
show.
Time. It's just incredible stuff.
Yeah. Their pork
it's
is
incredible
wonderful.
Stuff. And so they're doing all kinds of stuff. And eventually she's going to have eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's Brock and Deanna. It's worth every penny you pay for it.
They live on Ukiah now.
They said they could get like
little, oh, they moved
like,
from
like
Forestville to Ukiah.
Chickens. I could do them whole out of spit, not big.
Yeah. It's exciting,
like,
isn't it?
That is.
I know. I'm worked up about the chicken.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really great.
Because I don't trust any chicken anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't trust them to do right by me. You know what I mean?
I know. And there was somebody. It wasn't them, but it was a young couple, and it was through a farm. And they were doing chickens, and you had to order them in advance, and then you had the day when you got to go pick up your chicken. And it was fabulous. This was happening like a year, year and a half ago. And it was fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
But they were getting more orders than they could fill, and it just ended up not being something that they could do and follow through on. But, man, that was a great chicken.
Yeah. We used to get our chickens, some of the chickens we had flown in from, except I worry about gas, from these little farms in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
They're Pennsylvania Dutch. They raise all free-range chickens.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see all the different farmers and their little chickens. And I did that for a long time. And we're going to get shrimp now from a place called White Boot Brigade, which is a bunch of shrimpers in New Orleans who have joined together to try to bring back their industry.
Oh, that's great.
So we're
What's
gonna
it
be
called?
Getting that. It's called White Boot Brigade. And we're going to, that's what we're going to get for the benefit for Don Scott.
Because shrimp are one of the, shrimp are so popular, and they're just so bad environmentally,
right.
The shrimp farms.
Right. This is a whole different thing.
That
so
is
go
so
online,
good to know.
White Boot Brigade, and it's the shrimpers, and you can get them directly from the shrimpers. They don't have them online yet, so they have profiles of all of the shrimpers, and you can just call them and get them sent to you, and they're environmentally correct, and they're fat. So we're going to do those for the Don Stoddard benefit.
The Don Stoddard benefit, if you don't know, it's, what's the date? April 1st. Don Stoddard, for a long time called Rock and Roll Don because he just loves music so much, and he would be at any show anyone ever went to, everyone. And he was in an accident. Was it 2005?
Yes.
It was the same year that
just before Doug
our
died.
Doug Smith. Yes.
Yeah, just before Doug died.
Yeah, and he lost a leg.
Yeah. And Kaiser told him that an artificial leg was medical equipment, so they didn't cover it. Legs cost about $8,000. Feet cost about $3,000. And you can get different feet for different things. He wants a dancing foot.
And he should have a dancing
foot. And he should have a dancing foot
because
he's a dancer. He also wants a shower foot so he can stand up and take a shower and go swimming. But, you know, he talks about all the accoutrements of life without a leg.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an amazing, amazing human being. So we're having a benefit on April 1st. We're serving food, New Orleans-style food, cooked by Jacqueline at the market, you know, if she doesn't have a meltdown before then. But so we're doing that, and then we're going to try to raise money to get him a foot.
That is great.
Isn't
it's
that
April
great?
1st.
Yeah.
It's $50 or... $50 or
$90
for 2 for $90. So we still have some tickets left. You can call Northlight.
Okay, and what's the number of Northlight?
It's 792-4300.
792-4300. And I have a note here from my engineer that he's also called Cool Don. Is that right?
Cool Don?
Cool Don. And I nicknamed him a long time ago. I nicknamed him Parsley Don
in
a column I wrote, gosh, probably in 1988 or 89. Because, you know, Italians, there's this expression in Italian that, oh, he's like parsley. He's found in every sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just for somebody you see everywhere.
Yeah.
So back when I was first writing my column.
He's one of the greatest guys.
Yes,
he's been a regular customer for the last 10 years. And when he comes in on his crutches, and he's missing a leg. you know, I said, what the hell happened to you? He said, well, you know, and his attitude was always so great. He got a little down when Kaiser said, too bad, medical equipment. But he just come up, you know, and there's prosthetists that have been calling us. And
oh, yeah. We talked about it on the radio. You know, we have that, Barbara and I have that book review. Mm-hmm. And then someone called in who makes these feet, you know, and gave us a
oh, that's great.
Let me help out. Mm-hmm. Just get hold of me.
See, yes. That's what happens when you have a neighborhood cafe.
It's really important.
You're listening to Mouthful. We're talking with Carolina Clare and Barbara Iannoli of Northlight Books and Cafe, Mark Dirkhuizen of Dirk's Parkside Cafe in Santa Rosa, and Mark Maliki of Cafe St. Rose. Love that you're doing the dinner for Don Stoddard. That's the sort of flexibility that you have at neighborhood cafes. Mark, you're going to start a new tradition at St. Rose with community-based dinners.
Well, yeah. I mean, a lot of times when you own a restaurant, people call up and solicit donations for things, or they like you to go to events. And it's really hard, especially if it's a small restaurant, for me to be somewhere is difficult. So what I decided is every other Monday, like so twice a month, I'm giving the restaurant to a nonprofit. This way, you know, they just come in and you just write a check out to whoever the charity is, and just 100%
of the
money.
So you just pay them directly?
Yeah. Just, you know, don't, you know, come in and try to run your credit card through the restaurant. Just all the money goes to, you know, like, for instance, the first one, March 26th, it's for the Breast Cancer Foundation, because my wife and I were at the age now where it seems like a lot of our friends are getting breast cancer, right? And so my wife does this Avon walk every year, and she's wanting me to do it. I was like, God, how do I get out of walking 39 miles? Like, okay,
yeah, really.
You could have the restaurant and take all the money, right?
That's
and,
smart.
And also in the restaurant business, and I know I at this point am not providing it, but a lot of people don't have health insurance, right? So there's always a need for that, you know. So somebody has a problem, a friend or whatever, somebody, you know, a friend of a friend or something, we could just give them the space for that night, and, you know, they could, hopefully it helps them out a little. Mm-hmm. You know?
That's a really nice thing to do.
It is.
Really, really nice thing.
Yes.
You're doing, Mark Dirkhuizen, you're doing a purveyor dinner coming up in April, right?
Yeah, we're going to do, you know, we're going to do dinners every once in a while, probably every other month, and we're going to do it on a Thursday, the 19th, and we're going to do three purveyors. I like this lamb and veal from Sonoma Direct, or Direct Sonoma, out in Valley Ford that I run into.
Direct Sonoma, veal and lamb.
And then Evie's from Terra Farms, Terra Vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to do some clover products. They're organic.
And
the
they're new butter
and
they're available
new organic
now. It's
butter.
A nice butter.
It's a very nice butter. And because we use all organic clover at the restaurant, so we're going to do that, and then strawberries from also from Evie, and we're going to do a purveyor dinner and try to focus on farmers, you know, people who are raising the product for all of us that make our lives and our customers' lives great. I mean, you know, you give people you know, food that is, you know, raised decently and reasonably. And they respond greatly, not only healthy-wise, their health-wise, but personalities, you know, just, you know, they want to know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have to be super organic or anything like that. Just want to know that it's coming from a local person.
It's coming from a human.
It's coming from a human being someplace, that somebody's touching it, and it's okay to touch food. Right.
It's true. And I think it's really important. I think that buying locally is actually a revolutionary act, because our food supplies have become centralized and tainted, and it's becoming worse and worse in terms of what's happening. And so to buy local, you can be guaranteed that you're giving... It's a tremendous responsibility to feed people. I think it's a tremendous responsibility to feed people, to feed them clean, wholesome, good food. No matter what, however you bill yourself, we don't have a sign up that says that our foods cause cancer, which is what they do in all these Applebee's and all that stuff.
What?
They have to put a sign up. They have to say that the food, their foods, some of their foods, if you go into a Applebee's or what's that other place? I don't even know.
I don't even know this.
They all have to put that sign up, proposition something or other.
They have to post a little notice that some of their ingredients may be carcinogenic.
Wow. I never go into places like that. I had no idea.
One of our customers told
me. Have you noticed how this is turning around, though? You know, trans fats banned in New York. They're talking about it in California. They have to do that. And now I think the fast food places have to put caloric content.
Well, they're trying to pass that. Yeah. The fast food places have to put caloric content.
That's all been happening. That's all churning up right now. It's very nice.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And Michael Pollan doing all that work that he's doing.
He's doing great work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's been it's been a good time.
Mark.
No, I think that I serve very fattening food. I mean it's really good food, but I think overall.
What do you mean by fattening?
No, I'm kidding.
No.
It's
like
fattening food.
I think it's
good.
I think it's be afraid of fat. Right. Yeah. I think this whole thing of being afraid of fat and salt and all that thing. I mean, we got to be reasonable about it, but your body can't function without them.
You need 30 to 40. The average person needs 30 to 40% of their diet to consist of fat.
That's not a problem for me.
And saturated fat is not the issue.
No.
And it's still the mainstream. I saw something on CNN the other day, and it's about this poor boy, 8 years old. Did you see that in England? And there were all these close-ups of him stuffing his mouth, and underneath, Anderson Cooper is saying, his parents let him eat anything he wants, anytime he wants it. And if they don't cut the fat in this boy's diet, they're going to lose their child. And there's so many false assumptions in that statement. And the worst false assumption is that Puritan idea that desire is bad. Mm-hmm. And if you take a little kid whose palate isn't corrupted, they should eat what they want when they want it.
Right.
As long as they haven't been messed up.
Right.
And it just, I've been steaming about that ever since. I think it was Friday night, and I've just been steaming because that we need to give the message to people that you just need to get all the fake food influences out of there. Right. And I think we're sort of self-correcting humans. We want good things. And as long as I'm harping on this, one other thing, if it takes 20 minutes for your tummy to signal your brain that you've had enough to eat.
Right.
Why do we sit with each other and converse as we're eating? When we do that, we're talking and we're eating more slowly, and our brain is registering that we have food.
Right.
If you sit and honk it down by yourself, you know, sure, you're hungry when you're done, but 15 minutes later you're groaning because you ate too much.
Yeah. That's true. That's really true. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
so that's
one thing a neighborhood restaurant does too, right?
You know, is it you run into friends.
You're either going to banter with the waitress, the cook, the owner, or you got something going on, or you're going to be talking politics or whatever. You know, whatever the subject of the day is, it seems like it changes depending upon what's going on. But right, it does that thing. It gives you time to eat and let the stomach or the brain catch up with the stomach or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's really a lot of fun. Plus, you know, that interaction with human beings is
right.
To me, is fabulous.
It is. I think people are really hungry for community.
I think so, too.
I think they're hungry for community. I think they're getting more and more isolated. You know, we ban cell phones in there now.
Cool.
So they have to talk to each other or talk to me. I call a customer abuse day. So I'll come through there and pick on everybody.
Customer abuse.
What are you doing here, Shirley?
What are you trying? You're modeling yourself after Juanita? She used to walk through and insult all of her customers.
I don't think Barbara. I think that was before Barbara's time. But yes,
she probably does.
I know Juanita. I mean, I knew Juanita. She does a very good Juanita. Yeah.
And they love it. You know, you love it. You tease them. You bring them out. You know. We've had a marriage there. People got married on the patio.
That's
a
great
wedding there. And we have this breakfast club that they all met there, and they come and they eat there every day. And it's just great. It's great.
Yeah, there are people.
It's a great service.
There have been marriages, babies born, things like that. But it's like, you know, when we opened Northlight, it just became that place. Mm-hmm. It just became that place. I mean, what attracted was the patio and, you know, coming of age in Berkeley as an adult like I did. We've got the coffee house, we've got the books. You know, this is what I miss. When I moved to Sonoma County, I missed that two things that I love most about urban life, which was bookstores good bookstores and good coffee houses. And so then we that's what, attracted to me. But it just became this thing. All of a sudden, it was the community center. It was the town pump. You know, now it's an art gallery and it's a music, you know.
And on that
venue.
Note, you know what? We're out of time.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. But that just means that you need to tell people exactly where Northlight is and what your hours are.
Northlight Books is in Cotati next to Oliver's Market in the Oliver's Shopping Center. If you don't know where Oliver's Market is, it's on East Cotati Avenue, about a quarter mile up from Old Redwood Highway. We're open every day of the week. Monday through Wednesday, we're open till 7. Thursday and Friday, we're open later because we have music and drinking. Thursday's happy hour, and we're on the weekends. We're out of there around 6.
Cafe St. Rose?
463 Sebastopol Avenue. Don't go to Sebastopol Road. If you're on Sebastopol Road, then you're lost.
Yeah.
And it's between Santa Rosa Avenue and South A Street. Lunch is Monday through Friday, and dinner Wednesday through Saturday.
Except every other Monday when you do charity dinners.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Dirk's Parkside Cafe?
Yeah,
and
Dirk's Parkside Cafe is located on 404 Santa Rosa Avenue, just two blocks south of the Luther Burbank Home and Garden. They're on the corner of Sonoma and Santa Rosa Avenue, and we're open 7 to 2:30 daily.
And then how often do you do dinners?
Probably every other month, maybe every month. It's going to be kind of like whatever we feel like.
Okay, and then coming up on March 31st and April 1st, you're going to be doing an outdoor
oyster weekend.
Oyster barbecue. And on that note, thanks very much to all of you. I love what you do, and I love that you were willing to give up part of your Sunday night to be on Mouthful. See you all right here next week with the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour.
Mouthful is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan. Lawrence Alberti is Mouthful's engineer. For more information about Mouthful, send an email to mouthful@michelleannajordan.com. That's Michelle with one L. You can also download Mouthful's free podcast from krcb.org or from iTunes. Support for Mouthful comes from KRCB Radio members and from JAG Public Relations, providing comprehensive marketing for the hospitality industry with an emphasis on wine, food, and beverages. JAG Public Relations will manage your web content and provide your graphic and still photography needs. More information at 707-795-9400 or at jagpublicrelations.com. We also have support from River Rock Casino, Sonoma County's 24-hour entertainment destination, just off Highway 128 on the Dry Creek Rancheria in Geyserville.
Support for this public radio podcast comes from Acura, featuring the all-new turbocharged Acura RDX with available voice-activated navigation. More at acura.com/RDX.